It's the old Doctor Who show, episode number 23, The Sunmakers.
Go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine.
You couldn't control my mind before, and you certainly can't control it now.
Would you like a jelly baby?
The TARDIS, when working properly, is capable of many amazing things.
Because the polarity of the neutron flows, the TARDIS would be free of the force field.
Well, the TARDIS is more than a machine. It's unity. It's like a person.
Resulting reaction is fighting.
We're back with the old Doctor Who show, your online... What was the thing? I had something that I would say every week, or every 3 weeks.
Did you?
Welcome back to the old Doctor Who show, your classic Doctor Who review podcast. I'm your host, Eric. Now you go.
And I'm your other host,
See,
Dan.
It should be like
Eric, do you
that,
want to do that again live? Because that was really good.
But live. No, I think we got it. I think we nailed it.
That was really good. I think... Hey, guys.
How are you doing, Dan?
Oh, I'm doing great,
yeah.
Eric. Yeah, how's your more than a fortnight?
It's good. We've got some Doctor Who, old Doctor Who show news, I think. Well, we have
now
a Facebook page, so that I'm gonna write in my news book, underlined Facebook page that I set up. It's TODWS on Facebook, and you should like it. And I'm probably we'll post the link to the show whenever it comes out on there. And probably say whatever the next episode is. And if anyone ever has any questions, they could just ask it on there, and it'll automatically go to us, and we'll answer it.
Yeah, so we can do that. We can let you know if there's any breaking Doctor Who news, like we've been going through with the
breaking news.
Stuff.
And there's nothing.
Still,
yeah, there's nothing going on with
still
that.
Nothing. Still nothing with the classic Who. Guys, I've done everything I can. I've tweeted at official BBC Doctor
Who,
much
gonna,
and they did
respond. Yeah,
that's
going to pretty much
so.
Cover it. I did see, and again,
what else could I possibly
do? I put in the link to like a search link from Amazon onto Facebook, and then we saw the Prime logo over Classic Stories. But I'm just assuming that's like the cached from when they had it. But that's actually a long time ago. I mean, they dropped it. Amazon dropped it. I don't know, 6 months ago, 7 months ago.
Dude, once something's on the internet, it's
right
there forever.
So, I mean, probably not a lot of people have actually put that particular string that I put in, so it was, you know, cash for whatever reason. So maybe it's a sign, but most likely I think we both think it's just cashed.
Yeah, I don't expect to see anything with the
classic
streaming rights.
Why not? They already streamed it before, so they had a previous relationship with the BBC. They're only doing the new... Who knows? Who knows what it is? We'll find out.
And they're only doing up through season 8, so you're kind of stuck.
Well, won't 9 eventually appear?
I mean, yeah, eventually. I don't even know. But who knows? 10 isn't going to be showing up until next year, so who knows? They could hang on to that forever.
So that's it. Also, do we want to do the reviews when people review our thing at the end? Because we got some iTunes reviews that we have to...
Why don't we work this out in front of
Let's
our audience?
Let's work it out.
Hey, guys, if you could call in right now and let us know, do you want to hear about the reviews right now?
I'm going to read it because we got nothing else to talk about before we get into the episode. At least I don't.
Oh,
we don't have to talk about sneakers. We don't have to talk about... What do you got?
The movie sneakers? No. Oh, nothing. Nothing. I just had a milestone in my life. But
what's your milestone?
There's nothing. Don't worry about it.
What do you got?
I mean, I just had a birthday that ended in a zero.
Oh, that's right.
Reflect on my own mortality.
You are now 40 years old.
What am I doing on this crazy blue marble?
You're very old.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 42, so I'm actually, I've hit that 40, and I don't remember you having a podcast with me to talk about it. Granted, we didn't have a podcast at the time, but...
Do you want to go back? Do you want to go back and relive that? Because we got nothing but time here, guys.
So happy birthday, Dan. Please, anyone out there...
That's what I was fishing for.
Feel free to send Dan
if
something.
Send him
a gift.
You know the best gift? Write a review on the iTunes
There you go.
Store.
That's a hurt.
Not for our podcast, just for about the iTunes Store.
And you
in general,
can join...
Apple needs
You can
to
join
know.
People like Ryan Q, who I'm assuming is our former guest of the show.
I don't
show.
Know who that could possibly be. Who could that be?
So he writes, Eric and Dan could not have known that in the middle of their Classic Who podcast that the fate of Classic Doctor Who could end up in question with the BBC streaming rights controversy. I don't know. That's a, I don't know if it's a controversy per se, but well, I like where he's going. But worry,
I like the drama.
Exactly, I'm from like the edge of my seat, like, oh, what's going to happen? But worry not, these two nim-witted hosts quip and charm their way. He didn't write nim-witted, but I like to. I'm not comfortable with compliments, so I'm going to self-deprecate.
Do you want me to read the part that's complimentary to us?
Yes. Are you on it? Are you looking at it? They charm their way forward through iTunes purchases and a sense of mission, great banter, useful reviews, and a show that's made by nerds for nerds. Now, I make this show for everybody, and
That's exactly right. We are nerds, but I make it for everyone except nerds. So, because you know what? Screw them. They're going to be only
screw two. You, Ryan Q. For Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks for your
Thank you for writing the review, and also I'm the guy that was a former guest of the show. So yeah, thank you. Yep. Is there anything else do you have before you want to get into the Sunmakers?
No, I really just want to talk about my age for a bit.
Yeah,
longer.
What else did you?
No, I'm good.
You think at 40 you'd be doing a classic Doctor Who podcast?
This is pretty much what I pictured when I was a kid. I knew that all this technology would exist and that I would follow.
It's all about this.
I'm still patiently waiting for the episode that I recall seeing as a child, a Tom Baker
episode.
It was
Tom Baker. Do you remember any details? I could try to guess it.
It is the thing I specifically remember. It's so this obscure. There's no
he was wearing a scarf
when I see
at the time.
He's wearing a scarf and he has a jelly baby. No, it's a hallway scene. It looked horrible.
Okay. Which is pretty much every episode of the show.
Whoever it was, because I didn't know who they are, so it's not stuck in my head. Whoever it was running away from people.
Okay, yeah.
And they ducked into like a secret panel in the hallway and let the guards go by. And it was beige. So that is every episode.
Kind of, we'll have to narrow that down.
This episode is full of hallways. Yeah. So I was on the edge of my seat the entire time.
All right. So on that note, you want to hit the button and take us into the Sunmakers?
Where do I put the button? Yeah, where's the button?
Oh, got it.
Got it.
Knew it. Done.
How did you get control of humanity?
A normal business operation. The company was looking for property in this sector. Earth was running down, its people dying. We made a deal.
Go
on. Yes. We moved them all to Mars. After our engineers had made that planet habitable for their species.
And then taxed the life out of them. I mean, to recover your capital costs.
Quite so. Then, when the resources of Mars were exhausted in their turn, we created a new environment for them here on Pluto.
Whew. What about the four intervening planets?
No, they weren't considered viable by our engineers.
So then you really put the screws on. I mean, the running costs must be very high.
Six suns to be fueled and serviced.
Six suns? Six? My, my. Huh? And so when this planet's exhausted, you can move your slave labor force elsewhere.
Alas, no, there is nowhere else that is economic. This branch will close.
Leaving the humans to die.
All right, we're dealing with the... It sounds like it's a negative thing. Like, I guess it is a negative thing.
We're trying to overcome this episode.
Got another Sunmakers. This is the Sunmakers. This is the fourth serial of the 15th season. We're still in 1977. I feel like we've been in 1977 for quite some time.
Forever.
The Doctor, Leela, and K-9 arrive on Pluto, which is now colonized by humans, having been forced to flee both Earth and Mars. The company, which controls six artificial suns that make the dwarf planet habitable, rule over the population through an oppressive tax system. Seeing the terrible effects this is having on the people, the Doctor and Leela join a group of sweaty revolutionaries and help them to overthrow their corporate masters. This is written by Robert Holmes and directed by Pennant Roberts. I don't know if we've seen Pennant Roberts' name before. Not that I recall.
Yeah, that one doesn't ring a bell.
But obviously,
Just so you know, the synopsis is written by Eric Grissom, and that sweaty detail was
they're so sweaty. I mean, we're going to get to that when we get it to there. But some of the sweatiest people, some of the most awful people, like this episode is dark.
Oh, so good. I love this episode.
So we've got, let's just get into it. So what did you think of Sunmakers?
Oh, I absolutely, I loved it so much. I had to keep texting you yeah, when I was watching it, and you had to keep telling me to shut up and save it for the show. So good.
It starts off with suicide, essentially. You have the sort of the cold open, as it were, or whatever, where they're in a hallway, as you mentioned. Tiny hole with a lady's head pops out of it, like the Wizard of Oz or something.
Was it supposed to be a video screen, or was it?
I think it was a woman's head through a hole. I don't think they were trying to mimic.
She's standing on the other side of that wall.
Ladder?
She's 9 feet tall.
Well, that's probably why she was like, hello. Yeah. So you establish this horrible tax system that they have, where everybody's constantly working, and it's a corporate. This thing hit all my.
Starting with a death tax, yes. This guy's father died, so he has to pay.
It hit all my buttons. I mean, we've got a dystopian future that's corporate run and not run by the government. It was awesome.
Yeah, the whole bureaucracy of it, where the taxes are never what they say it's going to be. It's always going to be more so
constantly changing.
Bring as much out of them.
You'll never get ahead.
You never know.
Guy tries to kill himself. I mean, we start out pretty dark, but thank you for the. But it's always bright too. So
So for our American listeners who are listening to this when it comes out, it's tax season right now. So this is kind of perfect. So if you don't want to pay your taxes, the right thing to do is either have a revolution
or throw people off a roof to their death and then cheer for it.
Those are, I think, your only two options.
I mean, again, we're jumping to the end. That was –
you guys have seen this. You know how good it is.
Like, they picked that dude up. He wasn't fighting back or anything. Like, could have been arrested. And they tossed him.
Had his arms folded.
Tossed him
to
his death and all cheered. And that was it. And it was fine.
It was
and they're the people that are now in charge. And the doctor's like, all right, crazy, sweaty.
They are the rest. They are the last bits of humanity.
Yes. But speaking of taxes, I did see the documentary on the DVD about this. And, Robert Holmes was a freelance writer and was getting hit. And at the time in the 70s, and I don't know if it's still like this, but Britain always had a notoriously bad tax system or an oppressive one. You always would hear about the Rolling Stones splitting and Led Zeppelin, like all these bands and entertainment people leaving because the taxes were so severe. Now, I also heard on this, the actress who plays Leela said that he actually wrote this not necessarily about the tax system, although all signs seem to point that it's that, but that he was mad at the BBC, and the reason why it's a company was because it was supposed to be the BBC, because he was supposed to do a show, or they had promised him a show or something, and they canceled it, and so he wrote this out of anger. It seems more likely that it is the tax thing. I mean, that's the
combination
whole thing.
Of all of that.
Like, there's little, clues in there. The gas that they're...
There's no clues. This thing is pretty damn obvious as a piece of satire. Yeah. It's
and apparently they cut that back a lot too. That it was too on the nose, I guess. And the producers were worried that it was going to cause some problems. But the PCM gas stands for per calendar month or something with taxes. And then there was another bit like K something or not K9, but there's some acronym or letters that also stand for a particular tax. Or a form or something that you fill out?
P45 return route was the P45 form. I mean, it was so obvious that the collector, who is revealed to be an alien, not an actual human
who gets
being, his home planet is from Usurius, which is, a pun on usury.
Right, yes.
So, I mean, that
they
was
capture
super,
him in, a hospital bedpan, too, which I thought was in. Yeah. He went down
It was like a toilet or a bedpan, and they put a plug
it was
in
a
it.
Weird, hospital toilet that
but
he
that
was,
character
oh,
was
he
so
was
good.
Great
okay
so let's talk
okay so let's
where do we even start
so this is cool because this is the first time we see K-9 in the classic series. Right. I know of K-9 just from knowing Doctor Who and then seeing him subsequent to that in the reboots with the Sarah Jane episodes when she came in for the 10th Doctor, which is kind of awesome. So we get to see K-9. We also have Leela in her full Barbarella costume, which is, I guess, common for the series, but not for the episodes we've watched. We happen to have seen her less in this costume.
Well, she was in this costume in the last episode, right?
No, the last one, Fang Rock, she was in. Was Fang
I can't remember now. You're
Fang
right.
Fang Rock, she was in appropriate period.
Yes.
But then
she did change. Yeah, she had it. And then also, I forgot. I had
Deadly Assassin.
I had watched Deadly Assassin, but there was also the one. I don't even remember the name. One of the ones that we did not watch, I just watched that happened between, and she was in that. And hardly wearing pants. It was like there were certain shots where she's lying down, and that little strip is hardly
covering.
Yeah, that's like she's going up the leg, and, you know, it was like, whoa, okay. They literally at one point put her in a straight jacket, but not straight pants. Like, you could have also, give her some pants. Yeah.
No, she was basically wearing a leather bikini and loincloth. Right.
Little thing that I learned, too, that I did not know, that he, Robert Holmes, created Leela, and he based her on Leela Khaled, I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name, the first female hijacker.
Oh.
Which, I guess, at the time was, I don't know a lot about this woman, but I did see that mentioned, that I looked it up, and she was the first one. Who hijacked a couple of things.
Yeah, like airline hijacking at the time became endemic, and all they were ever doing was just like, all right, here's your money, and letting him go. Like, it just happened. It just became like a constant cost of doing business for quite a while in that time period. So that's kind of interesting.
All right, so we have, let's just run through the characters, right? So you want to take us through?
Oh, boy. I think there's a lot of characters in
this
one.
Like you mentioned K-9, first time we've seen
K-9.
All of
them fantastic.
You mentioned K-9 being the first time we've seen K-9, which is interesting.
So we've seen K-9. We have the Collector Hade, mm-hmm. who is
Hade is the Gatherer, right?
The Gatherer. His name is Hade, and then there's the Collector that we see later. But Hade is
he's
fantastic.
Great. He is one of the best characters.
I don't know why he keeps talking he's got this. Just not even
it's just like pompous, not kind of that sort of thing. Elitist. But it plays well. Like it
works so well. I mean, he's a buffoon kind of character.
On purpose.
On purpose, absolutely. He's got...
His
assistant, Marn.
Yeah, but with sticking with him, you had texted me while you were watching it. The fact that whenever he addresses the Collector, he constantly refers to him as like your eminence or your elevation.
Like your excellency. Yes. Yeah, so you compiled...
I didn't do this. I took this from you always talk about TARDIS, Wikia, or whatever. They had already done the work, so I just copied it.
Oh, did they do it?
You have that list? Do you want to read through some of them? They're ridiculous. Your grossness.
Yeah, if you could pull that up.
It was so funny
because I was watching it, and it just gets more
absurd,
and more ridiculous as you go. And sometimes it was just like he started referring to his size because it's the Collector's a very small man in a wheelchair, so he starts calling him your corpulence, your opulence,
your
enormity.
Your colossus. Yeah, it's your
colossus.
Hugeness, I think, at one point.
Which is just like, if I was the Collector, I'd be like, wait a minute.
And he is a gatherer, and I suppose there are five other people like him, each in charge of these. But we never see them,
Story. We're on Pluto. Pluto has mega cities on them. Each of them have their own sun. They've become habitable. Everyone that works there stays indoors, is not allowed to actually see
the light
of the
suns. Yeah, that was another plot point, that the people are not allowed to see the sun, only the rich.
Yeah. So they're there. So then there are these several mega cities, and I guess the head of each of these cities that collects the taxes for the company are the gatherers, of which Hade is one.
Yeah.
And then the Collector oversees all of them. Yeah.
Marn. So Marn is sort of the second in command, I guess, to Hade.
Yeah, that's his assistant, who basically looks like William Hurt in a wig doing Kiss of the Spider-Woman. She's got mannish features, but she's really
she's chiseled
awesome.
Out of...
there was a weird moment. That image that I sent you, that was right when... The gatherers, Hade is all excited about this plan that he's put together to try to actually capture the Doctor, and he gets a little frisky. He's like he's describing his plan that he calls like Morton's Fork or whatever, where he's gonna like chase the Doctor one way and cut him off the pass, and then he almost like tickles Marn a little bit.
That
like,
I did not notice
on the thigh, and then she turns and kind of almost mugs at the camera like, oh boy.
Yeah, see, sexism does not stop. Really, it doesn't matter what planet or subplanet you're on.
No, thank goodness. Human race is consistent. So we got them.
Yep, then you got Cordo, who's the guy that tries to kill himself in the beginning, ends up joining the Resistance.
Pretty cool character.
Yeah, he was
What's interesting about him is, so we talked about this PCM gas that's distributed throughout the city. They find this out in the second or third episode in this story. The citizens are told that it's there to help disinfect the air.
Right,
and that
it's got electrolytes.
Yeah, everyone's right. Got to stay hydrated, dude. But what it actually is an inhibitor that actually causes right. people to have anxiety.
Yeah, and fear. It's fear-inducing.
It's fear-inducing. Leela, when they first step off the TARDIS, when they land on top of the building, which is clearly just an office building someplace in
London. Yeah, and in the documentary, too, about this episode, they went through a number of locations because they had to find something that was high but that you couldn't see the Earth. So they kept going to different spots and to find a place that, like, because you don't see anything below them. It's just, like, this weird – and all the stuff with the actual setting, too. I guess in the original script, it was supposed to be more Aztec-like. With murals and stuff and to play into the whole sun thing. But then it just became sort of more of like an Eastern Bloc, nondescript sort of, you know.
I never read it as Eastern Bloc, more than just ultimately a corporation. It's so they land on top of this building and like, oh my gosh, that just looks like the top of an office building. But actually, that makes entire sense. Like, that's all that this planet
is. And a lot
is,
of those exterior shots
park.
Are just a photograph that they're sort of zooming into. Like,
yeah, well, is it? Or was it like a photograph of a really bad model? Like, that model, like, overview of the
I thought it was just a photograph of, like, they got one good shot and they just kept reusing it. I didn't know if that was it.
I guess. I don't know. It was not one of the best. Right. That's fine. So, but whenever they land on top of the building, one of the things that Leela says right away is that the planet, the air is scented. So that kind of comes back later to the PCM. Everyone's
and then as she's getting closer to a specific thing, she starts saying, why am I afraid? And that's when you get the...
Right, so they kind of realize and put that together.
Or canine, I think, analyzes it, right?
The doctor figures it out, and the canine confirms it. And
so you have Bisham.
But what I think was interesting is Cordo is definitely – he seems like he's kind of – I don't know. He seems like he's ultimately afraid to do anything. He's not sure what to do. He's the guy who's gonna commit suicide. But he ends up being the bravest of all of them.
Yep.
Completely decides to join this revolution.
He finds a reason for living.
Incite it.
He finds a reason for living from death.
Redemption.
Tax. He finds a reason for living.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful.
Amazing.
Actually. So you got Bisham 2, which is another worker. This is the one the doctor meets in the correction center that becomes part of the rebels. And Bisham and Cordo sort of work together, which I thought was great because Cordo's kind of short and Bisham's kind of tall and lanky. So the two of them together, this like tag team of, you know, I don't know. It's a tag team. That's what they are. I think I was done with what I was saying.
So we got those guys.
And then the rebels.
So then they weren't rebels. They were the people that lived in the Undercity who had committed crimes and either escaped from being caught or had somehow escaped from the brainwashing correction center, now live underground and steal everything
they're
they
just
need
criminals
from
and they're very sweaty. I mentioned that in the thing. They're all sweaty. They're just terrible.
Well, it's the
people.
70s. Everyone was sweaty in the
70s. But them more so, I think. They just were like these – they're not nice people. Like, they're horrible to from get. And then they commit murder at the end, and then they inherit the whole kingdom. You've got her, and then there was I forget the woman's name. Do you remember the woman's name?
Yes.
Yep, that's it. Another little tidbit, little extra thing. She knew Leela, or the actress that played Leela, and I guess they had lived together at one point, too, so they were very good friends.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of interesting. And I think there wasn't really anyone else. Was there a guy named
Gowdry?
Who was he? I had that in my notes too, but I don't even remember.
He was kind of the scruffy bearded guy that was part of, he helped get the workers to go on strike, and then they all kind of attacked the guards. Right. But I mean, so they foment this revolution, but the whole time they always gave the workers a choice, like, you can either join us or die. Right. So
yeah, join or die. They
give
actually
kill people
choice
until the end. That's actually I'm jumping around
a little bit,
but that's interesting that you said that they were going to do – it was originally going to be more of an
Aztec. Yeah, again, budget. It was all came down
to
budget.
You see that – but you do see that still. They retained some of it. I guess they must have already built the sets, so they kept it. But in the Gatherer's office, chambers, whatever, I mean, he's dressed in full – I mean, it was very strange that he's the only one.
And the way he
dresses,
pronounces mahogany, too, did that just
– Mahogany?
It was a real wood table. I believe it's mahogany. And then the
mahogany.
There was also a lot of pronunciation things that were great throughout this.
Well, but it was the fact that you know, it's so far in the future.
Well, that's what you
– and these people don't have any –
they have
any
no idea what trees is. And
mahogany.
Maybe that was the intended pronunciation of that word.
Yeah, but he made this like reference to you know, ancient humans actually ate a whole bunch of vegetable matter without any ill effects, which was kind of, it was kind of cool.
You've got your consume card, too. That was the thing that looked a lot like a Visa card, I guess. Or in this, it's a Barclay card, which I guess...
Yeah, but
same thing.
Consumer credit card.
And they had to change a color on it because they were worried they were going to get sued. But that was great. Okay. You know, you use the card and you get gassed in that little box because, you know, one of the things that the rebels do is they force the doctor to steal $1,000 from a card I guess they had stolen.
They stole and forged it.
And then he ends up getting gassed. But I don't know if you noticed, in most of these episodes, Tom Baker is doing his own thing. And Leela is doing her own thing. What is the woman's name? I keep saying Leela instead of the actress's name. But in any case, that tension we've mentioned before is alive and well. And the reason why they did that is because Robert Holmes knew that they weren't getting along. So he basically has Tom Baker doing one thing and Leela doing another.
Series? This far into the series, they were still having such difficulties?
I mean, in this documentary, she's like, now they get on famously or whatever. But at the time... it was not great, you know. I also heard that when Tom Baker would get the scripts for this and say it was rubbish and rip them up and throw them on the ground, and the actors rewrote the whole thing, and then right before they were going to shoot, they ended up going back to the original script anyway. And the guy, one of the actors, was like, I don't know why we did that, but that was the process that we went through. So Tom Baker may have been, and I think he's said so much that maybe he wasn't the easiest person to get along with at the height of his popularity. So who knows?
I mean, he must have been huge in the country at the time. I mean, Doctor Who was a cultural phenomenon at the time, and he was the longest running Doctor. I mean, he just it does not seem like it was easy to deal with. Louise Jameson.
Okay. Yes, Louise Jameson. The actress's name.
We don't want to give her the proper.
But anyway, so Robert Holmes knew that going in, and that's sort of why she gets captured and again put in that straight jacket but not straight pants. I also heard that, do you remember the time when they've got her almost crucified where she's like hanging by the thing?
Yeah.
They went and got tea. Like the cast and crew left her there. I don't know if that was a joke or whatever, but they all split and left her hanging up there. And to this day she sounds still a little bit like, that was kind of not cool at all. So I don't know what's going on in the set on this whole thing.
Wow. Well, let me... The other character we haven't really talked about is the collector, who's the ultimate guy, Captain Eyebrows.
Captain Eyebrows.
He's got the choice that he used for speaking.
Yeah, when he says like T-I-O-N words.
The way he talks about everything.
And all hunched over, but
why? All hunched over. Very thin, like little person on this kind of... this wheelchair.
That pink paper, a pink paper mache wheelchair that turns out is just a rolling toilet.
Rolling toilet, because he's got issues. There's a moment whenever Leela's going to be executed in this public fashion in the steamer.
Yeah, she's going to get steamed. Like, can we talk about that? Like, I've heard about executions for many years. I've never heard about somebody getting steamed to death.
It's a pretty good one.
And the fact that they mic it just so he can hear the screams. Was classic.
I mean, really sadistic. When you talk about dark, that is really dark. But so Leela's gotten away, and they know this, and the collector's kind of confronting Hate about this. What are we going to do? What's the plan? And the collector is pacing in circles, but in a wheelchair. He just goes around and around in his wheelchair.
Yes, he does.
It was the most ridiculous blocking I've ever seen.
There's like a lot of weird blocking. Good.
He's sweaty.
Everybody is sweaty. And I guess, you've got six artificial suns. You're probably going to perspire a little bit. Like, who knows what they're using it?
And they were going to steam, so there must have been some...
You mentioned hallways. A lot of hallways in this one. This is... most of the action takes place in hallways. At one point, I feel like the guys are playing a giant Jenga game.
Character.
Like, I don't know what they're doing. They're moving blocks of wood for some reason when they're attacking in the golf cart. That whole scene. When Leela gets straight up shot in the head, too.
Yeah.
But it just gets a little bump. Yep. Like, it was like a... She got shot in the head, but I guess she's fine. Mm-hmm. And left for dead. And they're like, we can't help her. It's like, we could try.
No, it was the gas. It's not their fault. That was the gas.
Lots of sweating, I said, going on with the others. And that she's pretty much, Leela's pretty much naked from the waist down. That's also in my notes.
It's in your notes a lot. Yeah.
Well, it's
drawings.
Pretty, like, you know, there you go.
I mean it's a pretty great story.
Steaming people is healthier than frying, though. I have to point that out because we're conscious about those kind of things.
If you're watching your cholesterol.
Speaking of that, like that whole thing, I love it, and it's a plot point too because the microphones to hear the screaming are the reason why the collector, I guess he overhears someone warning the doctor, like, you only have so much time or whatever, and that's... But anyway, they talk about the... Marn says to the collector... Not the... The collector's the top guy, right? There's this one bit where Marn says her cries will be clearly audible. And the next line that he comes back with is, what's that? Like, he can't hear her say... And I don't know what it was, but that cracked me up. I thought that was the funniest exchange. Her class would be clearly audible. What? I'm sorry. What's that? What?
Speak up.
So stupid. But yeah.
I mean, it is a fairly silly story, but so much fun. I mean, it was just, yeah. I mean, there's the things in the hallways where there's the guards and they're like slowly rolling at them in an underpowered golf cart. Okay. That's pretty awesome.
We always mention the subtle or not so subtle sexism that they like to put in. They do that like joke it's where she subtle. Can't drive or whatever. Like, yeah. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, fellas.
I said go forward and she goes backwards. Right. I mean, sure. Women. Am I right, guys?
So they also, what else? What were you going to say? I also have a note for dudeophonic sound or something. Like the sound that they were
dudecaphonic
sound. Yeah,
so it's like 20-point surround sound, which is quite pretty advanced. Awesome. I'm looking forward to that in our future because 7.1's for jerks.
We talked about it being dark. Like I already mentioned, the murder because they straight up murder him. But really Leela also stabs somebody and kills him. She throws her. I forget.
She didn't. She didn't kill him. She stabbed him in the arm.
I thought he died.
Okay. So the doctor hypnotized people.
Yes. That happened later, but you're right. I think because she stabs him and then doesn't finish it off, and that's why he gets up or something.
No. Well, you're thinking of, you're putting two things together. So there was the doctor comes across this one guy. Leela wants to kill him because she let someone else get away before and he almost killed her. So, but the doctor says, okay, well, this time we won't let him get away. So he hypnotizes him, puts him to sleep. And he's not allowed to wake up until the doctor says, until I tell you to
and
wake
then
up.
Later on.
This comes back later when he's confronting the collector. He accidentally says
and she
that.
Pops in and throws the knife.
She throws it across and stabs him in the shoulder, and the doctor says, good shot.
Do we see him get up again?
No, he didn't die, because if she had killed him, the doctor wouldn't have been complimentary about that. He wouldn't have said, oh, that's great, you just killed
him, dude.
I know,
but they straight up kill all these people, and he's like, gotta go, all right,
I don't
God bless. Well, they throw that guy off the roof. That
okay, there's that.
That's
like,
a
with
murder.
With the guns, though, so there's a whole lot of...
There
like,
are no trials
the guards have
future.
The guns, and people are shooting each other, but... Leela gets shot in the head and doesn't die, so that leads me to assume that the guns aren't lethal, which makes sense because they're going to want to keep these people around because they're just their work units.
I guess.
So I don't think she was actually killing people. I think the humans at the end when they throw the gatherer off the top of a building and then cheer like mad people.
And it's like, there is a shot of them cheering and it's like, okay, everything's
it's
great.
It's really disconcerting. Yeah.
Oh man! But such
murder's
a
fun,
such
right,
a fun. Well, this is one of my favorites. I feel like I dropped the ball on the collector. He does everything. Like, what are you going to say about him other than just want to do impressions of him or just play his? It's so weird. Like the fact that he shrinks and then falls into what looks like a toilet bowl and they plug him up. He's like, let's talk a little bit about him. So the race of
Hey guys, this is a little out of order.
Very briefly, I was very surprised. Again, you said he was a Usarian, right? Or
yes, yeah.
Never been in the show since. Like that race.
No, I mean
and
this
that
is just for that.
You got to bring this guy back.
Oh, well, this is actually interesting. So the collector has a computer that you know he asked to like look up stuff. So like he asks about the Doctor and Time Lords, and the computer knows about Gallifrey. It knows about Gallifrey because it's done some market research, basically. And it's just not worth colonizing. But so he knows about Time Lords and Gallifrey, I guess. So that's kind of cool. I mean, but they never show up again. But the Doctor knows of them because he says in their natural form, they look like sea kale with eyes. Like, would you guys take orders from sea kale with eyes? Cordo says no.
Of course he does.
So Yeah, so it was, that was so great. Kind of,
I mean, I thought in some form we would see him again, but as far as I can find, the only appearance of that race and that character are this
that
episode.
So good. He reminded me the entire time, and I kept trying to find references, but I can't. My brain just wouldn't do it. He looks like a Tom Lennon character from The State. Like, there's some sort of his facial expressions, the way that he talks, is absolutely Tom Lennon.
So use your. No one's interested. If anyone knows what Dan is talking about. Please contact us.
Leave it in a review on iTunes. Every character was kind of cool. The people in the underground, each of them kind of had a little bit of an arc. Cordo had an arc throughout the story. The villains were all at least interesting and really knew what they were doing with their characterizations, so that they were just fun to watch. I can't get enough of the guy.
Cordo, like, you know, he goes from trying to kill himself at the beginning to the end. Any chance he gets to put his gun in the air and be like, all right, let's do this, guys. Like, it's like, oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
Come on, Cordo.
Oh, man, that guy's going to be president one day.
Well, they should have let, but it wasn't like they didn't even leave him as president. It's like, what's going to happen when the doctor, this place is going to devolve into tyranny when that sweaty guy at the bottom takes over. Whatever. What was his name? Dr. Sweats?
Dr. Sweats a lot.
Mandrell? Yeah, mm-hmm. That dude. I don't trust that guy. Or Veep.
No. Well, he turned out to be a pretty good dude. Did he? So I guess the doctor's plan for them is that they're going to go back to Earth. They should take their freighters and head back to Earth, because by the time they get there, it will have been regenerated and ready for them again. But this is the weird thing. Why did they materialize on this planet? It's because the column
stops
in
moving.
The TARDIS stopped. But we don't know why. It just stopped. And I don't recall seeing that. Like, there's always this thing that the TARDIS takes them where they need to go instead of where they want to go. Right. Like, that's been established.
And we're not covering the next story, so I'm not sure if it's a piece that then is going to get resolved, like they have to fix it.
Because that's how the story starts, but it's also how it ends. So the column isn't running, and he materializes to find out where they are, and that's how this whole thing starts. At the end, after they throw the dude off the building, he says, you know, take your freighters, head back to Earth. Doctor, do you think they're actually going to get us there? I'm sure they will. They go into the TARDIS and he says, but I'm not so sure about us. Leo says, what are you saying? I'm just finishing a thought. So there's something up with the TARDIS, isn't... I don't know what's
going
on.
Yeah, but then
it's
like they play it out like he just does whatever he does at the end to upturn the chessboard for the joke about the chess game.
That I don't think actually had anything to do with anything. It was just like, I don't know. There's some cryptic thing about like not knowing what was up with the TARDIS not working. I don't know. It was strange because they don't really resolve that at all. I don't know.
But in any case, we're not going to cover the next episode. So this is the last time we see Leela. For us. But to your point, like perhaps in the next one, which is Underworld, they find out whatever it is, you know, causing that TARDIS issue to happen. So.
Because
we're not doing it. So we're going to jump. I think the next one we do is Ribo's Operation, which gives us Romana, a new companion. K-9 sticks around. So it's just the last time we see Leela. I like Leela a lot. The episodes that we saw.
It's unfortunate that there was any tension there with the character because, I mean, some of it's pretty obvious. You can see that and feel it, and they had to obviously, like you said, change the scripts to make that kind of easier.
Yeah, but like you said, in previous episode or previous review shows, I wouldn't really have known if I hadn't read it or seen her mention it in that video. They seem to like they get along fine. And she mentioned how cold it is too. Like where they were shooting on the roof, it was incredibly cold. She's got hardly has any clothes on. But she was saying like Tom Baker would wrap her in his scarf up until the moment they were going to shoot and then unwrap her. So it wasn't like they completely hated each other.
That's weird.
Well,
is that, I don't know, that visual.
Yeah, I guess
really
they could have gotten her a coat.
A coat. Tom's just like, now I got that you this. Put it. I want to be in control of her
now
comfort.
That you put it that way, I guess that is a little strange. My point being,
not at all.
Yeah, I don't know if it
sexist.
Was that they hated each other or if they maybe they just had creative differences on lots of stuff.
That's my sense of it. I don't think he liked the character. I don't think it was necessary. I mean, that's what we saw from the beginning, or what I had read from the beginning was he didn't like the character. Didn't think it was appropriate for a companion. I don't think it was her. Right. She's great.
She's good. So yeah, I'm sad to see her go. But, you know.
But I'm looking forward to a new companion.
And
so that's
Romana is very good. So the first one. There's two of them. So it's
That's why I'm so intrigued, because I keep reading all this mythology of Doctor Who and checking around. It's like Romana 2. What is that about?
So that's it for us for the Sunmakers, unless you have anything else on the Sunmakers. I think it's happy. What do we do? We don't have thumbs up. We got what do we got? Piggybacks. Two piggybacks for Sunmakers. Next is the Ribose Operation, which I believe is the first part of the 12-part story, like the key to time thing, which is going to be interesting because it's going to be one big story where they're all sort of connected. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That kind of calls to mind like modern Who, especially in the
really ambitious. It's going to be a lot of episodes for us.
Are we doing, since, hey guys, just so you know this, Eric does all the planning, if that's not obvious. Are we, we're covering all of those stories?
I think they're all on there. So that takes us to, let me just open the website, jump to it. Yeah, so we start with Ribose Operation, and then
that'll be in the beginning of May
for
you guys.
We go all the way to Power of Krull, I think is the last one. The Power of Nick Krull. Stones of Blood, Androids of Tara, Power of Krull.
Yeah.
I think that's the last one. Oh, no, that's the penultimate. So our Armageddon Factor is the last one. I don't see that on our list, so we got to add that to our list.
We'll stick that in. I think if we're going to do it, if we're going to get that far into the arc, we might as well do the whole dang thing.
All right, so I will make an update to add that. So I think Armageddon Factor was the one that was not streaming.
Hey, now, guys, we're off that now, so who cares? So you watched this one on the DVD. Did you rent the DVD through Netflix? Is that your jam? I ponied up like a champ and just
bought it. Now, when you buy it from iTunes, you get nothing extra?
I didn't see anything extra. Although I bought it on my iPad, and I don't know, sometimes that stuff just doesn't show up.
I have a feeling they don't even give you anything. I think it's probably
sure just,
and you paid $6?
It was $6 for 4 episodes.
That's not bad.
I mean, it's not the worst thing.
I think, again, renting the DVDs now, it's great because the extra stuff they put on there, like they even had bloopers. There was there was only one blooper, and it's basically Cordo. Cordo running out with the gun, and he keeps hitting the button to get like a firecracker to explode, and it just doesn't go off. So it's like 6 takes of him going out like, and then hitting this plastic button and nothing and everyone cracking up. And so,
Cordo.
I can't stay mad at you, Cordo. So anyway, that's where we're at. So if you are enjoying this show, I think you should leave a review on it.
Yeah.
And tell people about
it. If you're not enjoying this show, stop listening.
Yeah, please tell people about
it. Keep listening.
Tell the world.
Yeah, tell people about it. Like we said, we now have a Facebook page. So if you want to see what's coming up or when the new episode's released,
drop us some stars.
Check us out there. Drop us some of those new reaction emojis. Everyone loves those. React on that.
The old Doctor Who Show at gmail.com is our email address, so that's a direct line to Dan and I.
If you have any questions, that'd be an awesome place
to
put
them.
Now
you can do it on Facebook. iTunes reviews, we're looking forward to them from you, so thank you in advance.
It actually is helping, guys, by the way. It does get the show to show up in searches much faster, and that's great. So we want more people to watch it. You can catch me on Twitter at DanJNJ. I will always tweet stuff about
the show. And you can find me at ericgrissom.com, where you can find things that I've posted and links to my Twitter and Facebook, as well as comics that I've written that you can buy. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, by the time this goes up, this will go up on Wednesday. If you're in New Jersey or the New York, New Jersey area, I will be at the East Coast Comic Con on Saturday and Sunday. The April something. Is it April 16th and
17th?
Yes.
Where is that being held?
The Meadowlands. So.
Ooh, I'm right by there. Maybe
you come visit me, man.
I'll
give you some free stuff.
No, I don't. I want to pay for it.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I'll be there those 2 days, probably with my kids.
Cool.
So if you're around, stop by and say hi.
Oh no, I'm not going.
Hey, mention the show, and I'll give you some kind of discount. I guarantee that.
Yeah.
All right. So you got anything else until we? This is a short. It felt like a short.
This was a very short episode, which is so strange because it's such a good story.
I know. All right. Well, I think that does it for us.
I love all of you.
We love all of you. So contact us and let us know. And we like to hear from people. So if you have Facebook, like our new Facebook page, and we'll take it from there. Peace out. I don't know. What are our next steps? I feel like all of a sudden I'm in a dumb meeting at work. All right, cool. All right, let's touch base and figure out what we're going to do here.
Circle back around and...
All right, let's go.
Let me tell you.
Bye.
Bye.
Stop it. I will be right now.
There's one for you. And 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man. Yes, I'm the tax man. That man is rough. Now dig this. Should 5% appear too small? Just be thankful. I don't take it all. Tax man is something else, isn't it? Cause I'm the tax man. Yes, I'm the tax man. I dig this. If you drive a truck, I'll tax the street. And if you try to fix it, I'll tax your seat. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat. And if you take a walk, and this is awful, I'll tax your feet. Cause I'm the tax man.
With my robot, you know.